Sverige Radio Utland-programmet.
Radio Sweden, Stockholm.
Radio Schweden, Stockholm. Radio Svezia, Stoccolmo. Sverige Radio Utland-programmet.
You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London.
Well, I hope you all will join me in Main Street's old Grange Hall. I'll be spinning 78s. We're gonna have a ball. It's 15 times I crank it, a new needle for every song. And every time I thank it, when the folks all sing along. Well, I can't wait to celebrate, I'll set you up a song. Cause all I play is an RCA, they always sound so clean. I only play that Victor talking machine. It's gotta be a Victor talking machine. Oh yeah. Well, I love that shiny woodwork, the label under the lid, the green felt on the platter, like the one I had as a kid. When I wind up Louis Jordan and blast that jumping jive, a little King Cole trio, and that joint just came alive. Well, I can't wait to celebrate, I'll set you up a song. Cause all I play is an RCA, they always sound so clean. I only play that Victor talking machine. It's gotta be a Victor talking machine. Oh yes it does. Well, if you have a blackout, Victrola's all you need. You get volume doors and pitch control and dark mahogany. So crank it up, but don't overwind, cause you can pop a spring. You can fix a modern Victor if physics is your thing. But I hope you all enjoy it, dancing at the Grange. I'll keep spinning those 78s. My friends, they think I'm strange. But I don't mind if it's scratchy, I can take that crackle and pop. I get by with no high five, my spinning will never stop. Well, I can't wait to celebrate, I'll set you up a song. Cause all I play is an RCA, I don't wanna make a scene. I only play that Victor talking machine. It's gotta be a Victor talking machine. Oh, yes, it does. You know, I'm talking about that company from Camden, New Jersey. They got bought out by the Radio Corporation of America, also known as RCA, where they took a picture of that dog nipper. After that, they got so much hipper. I'm talking about the Victor RCA. You know, I've never owned a gramophone, Edison or a magnetone. The only one I'd ever own is a Victor RCA. With all due respect to Thomas Edison, his master's voice was his worst medicine. I'm talking about the real thing. Oh yeah. Well, all I play is an RCA, I don't wanna cause a scene. I only play that Victor, I could not be any stricter. I only play that Victor talking machine.
In London, some history is actually fading away. Many of the items in the British Library's vast collection of recorded sound are in danger of disappearing. Some just physically won't last much longer. Others are on long dead formats. Here's one they have saved. It's one of the very few recordings of Florence Nightingale.
I hope my voice may perpetuate the great work of my life.
Okay, hard to understand, but pretty good for 1890. That's taken from an Edison wax cylinder. The British Library is currently asking for donations to help raise the $60 million it'll take to digitally preserve their collection. Will Prentice is one of the people tasked with saving these recordings.
We only have a finite window of opportunity in which to preserve them. That's actually about 15 years, which seems like a long time, but we have over 6 million sound recordings in the British Library. We know that to work at our current rate, it'll take us 48 years to digitize everything.
And there's a ton of what people have called dead media, you know, abandoned formats like more recently the 8-track or the Laserdisc. Can you talk about the range of dead media you're dealing with?
Yeah, we have over 40 different audio formats alone. So everything from tin foils and wax cylinders in the early days and post-war dictation formats like the dictabelts and those kinds of strange, obscure things.
I want to hear an example of the kind of thing that is in the archives. This is the voice of Alfred Lord Tennyson. Mm-hmm. This is a recording of him reading The Charge of the Light Brigade. It's pretty scratchy, so I'll remind listeners the beginning of the poem is, "Half a league, half a league, half a league onward, all in the valley of death rode the 600."
Half a league.
Amazing to hear his voice, although honestly, I felt a little bit let down by his reading.
Well, it's a fascinating story. Your listeners may know about the Crimean War in the 1850s, the battles of Balaclava and so on, which the Charge of the Light Brigade poem was written about. In about 1890, in London, there was a scandal that the veteran soldiers of that battle had been left destitute and were in many cases living homeless on the street. This is before anyone knew of post-traumatic stress disorder, I guess. Mm. A campaign was launched to raise money for these guys, and Colonel Gourault, who was Edison's ambassador, if you like, in the UK, spotted this as an opportunity to publicise the phonogram. So what he did was he went to find eminent celebrities of the day who could somehow support this campaign, and he chose Florence Nightingale, the lady with the lamp, and he chose Lord Tennyson, who'd written this poem. He visited Tennyson's home on the Isle of Wight and persuaded him to record this poem.
There's so much fantastic stuff. We heard Florence Nightingale, Tennyson. You can hear James Joyce reading from Ulysses. But my favorite is actually, this is the great George Bernard Shaw speaking directly to us to make sure we get the speed of the turntable right.
If what you hear is very disappointing, and you feel instinctively that must be a horrid man, you may be quite sure the speed is wrong. Slow it down until you feel that you are listening to an amiable old gentleman of 71 with a rather pleasant Irish voice. Then that is me.
That's lovely.
Isn't that great? What's it like to discover something like that?
It can be really exciting. It's very much like pulling up treasure from the ocean bed or something. You can often stick on a disc with nothing written on the label or very little information and digitize it and find that there's something absolutely incredible on the other end of it.
So what have been your favorites? What have been your most thrilling moments going through these recordings?
Well, I've been here 15 years, and I've been finding new things at every turn, really. So in the last few weeks alone, I can tell you we've found some plays of Noel Coward. We found a recording of the opening night of one of his plays, Peace in Our Time, where he, at the audience's behest, goes up onto stage and gives a little speech to the actors. And it's a lovely little flavour of what a night at the theatre was like in London after the Second World War.
Wow. So let's go out with that Noel Coward recording. But before we do, Will Prentice, audio conservation specialist with the British Library, thanks so much. This was great.
My pleasure.
It is a convention of the theatre that the author always thanks the cast. But my feelings at the moment about this cast are far from conventional. I would like to say that in my opinion, that this company have given a performance in the highest tradition of English acting.
You can go to our website to sample a few of the other amazing recordings. That's at npr.org.
Well, hello and welcome. This is the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. I'm celebrating 16 years on the airwaves here in the Kearsarge Sunapee region. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Well, if you've heard the Radio Thrift Shop at all, you know we trip up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound. And this evening we're really going to explore the past century of recorded sound. We're going to go back about a century to the very late 1800s and the early 1900s, maybe the first couple of decades of the 20th century. We're going to hear some wax cylinders. Yes, before MP3s, CDs, cassettes, and vinyl records, people listened to cylinders. They were initially made of tin foil, then wax and plastic. And cylinder recordings, commonly the size and shape of a soda can, were the first commercially produced sound recordings in the decades around the turn of the 20th century. We're going to dip into the UCSB library, which has been preserving old wax cylinder recordings. So sit back, relax, get into your radio time machine. We're going on a journey through the Radio Thrift Shop.
Of the Columbia Phonograph Company, Washington, D.C., accompanied on the piano by Professor Gaisberg. Was as happy as a jaybird sitting on the limb, for a summer duck, or was it, to the brain to take a swim, or a turkey gobbler, a goblin, and a strutting like all sin. So why should I keep from a whistling when it is? And it's in. I am God.
the Minstrel Boy, played by Mr. James C. McAuliffe, Edison Records.
From 1904, Albert Benzler and James W. Hager recorded on Edison Gold Wax Cylinders. That was a tune called Bluebell. Before that, we heard James McAuliffe with Minstrel Boy from 1905, and we started that set off with John York Elty and Fred Gaisberg from 1894. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, and this week we're dipping back in time to the wax cylinder era.
Exploring science and the sea. researchers may not be ready to hold a conversation with them just yet, but they say they can identify a small group of right whales just by the sounds of their voices. That may provide new insights into the behavior of these endangered giants. The researchers studied North Atlantic right whales, which are found off the coast of Canada and the United States. They once numbered in the thousands, but whalers decimated the population. In fact, legend says that right whales got their name because they were the right whales to hunt. They were slow and docile, and stayed close to land. Today, only 400 or so North Atlantic right whales remain. Like many whales, they make distinctive sounds, about a half dozen whistles, moans, and grunts that allow the whales to communicate. Scientists at Syracuse University analyzed more than a decade of whale sounds, which were recorded by sensors strapped to the whales' backs. In particular, they concentrated on a sound known as the up call. It's the whale equivalent of saying, "Here I am, what's up?" It's used by both sexes and by all ages. The researchers found that the sound is a little different for each whale. There are differences in the length of the up call, in the starting and ending pitch, and so on. Analyzing those differences allowed the scientists to identify 13 whales based on their calls. So while they may not yet understand what each whale is saying, they can at least tell who's doing the talking. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute and is on the web at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
Mr. Albert Benzler from a wax cylinder recorded in 1909. That's Ancient Court Whisperings. Before that, M. Nagy with Silver Threads Among the Gold, recorded on Cymbalom in 1917. And we started that set off with Mr. Guido Giandi and Birds of the Forest, recorded on wax cylinder in 1913. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, online at classicalwscs.org, and around the world on the Global Voice at theglobalvoice.info. Every program here at the Radio Thrift Shop, we explore a wide variety of music released from the early 1900s to music being released next week, and also we celebrate radio in all of its forms. I'll be back with more wax cylinder recordings right after this.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
This is Tummer with the radio news about radio waves. James Careless in Radio World has a long story about long wave radio and its inevitable demise in England. Long wave, as the name suggests, are long waves. Near AM on the dial, and in the UK largely in the 148.5 to 253 kHz range. Like AM radio, transmitting requires a large antenna to create that big wave, and the sound quality means broadcasting music does not work. Recently, Irish state broadcaster Radio Talifs Éireann announced it would end its Long Wave Radio 1 service to Britain January 1st, but the same Radio 1 programming would still be available on the web and via the Freesat satellite TV service. Long Wave loyalists, many of them Irish, who listened for Irish news from inside England, though, successfully protested and petitioned and persuaded the government to postpone RTE's Long Wave closure until January 1st, 2017. It was the third attempt to end Long Wave in England that was put off. Eventually, though, the transmissions will end. The BBC has bought up the entire world supply of a specially crafted 1-meter-tall glass valve, but they will run out of those in a few years. Quote, "We have purchased whatever parts we can find, but the truth is that when our current long-wave transmission equipment becomes irreparable, our long-wave service will be off-air for good," unquote, Dennis Nolan, network manager for BBC Radio 4, said. Quote, "The BBC has committed to continue to sustain the medium for as long as the current infrastructure is viable, but that's it," unquote. You can read the full story about long wave radio at Radio World. This is Tom Rowe reporting for Wavefarm Radio and WGXC. Thank you.
violin and guitar duet, and on an evening serenade played by Spiegel and Wolf, Edison Records. Thank you.
The All-Star Trio with Arabian Nights from 1918, and before that, Samuel Siegel and Lloyd Wolfe with An Autumn Evening, recorded in 1905. We started off with Johnny Kimball and Allerdeen, a Wax Cylinder recording from 1912. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. And it's been ages, or so it feels like, since I broadcast an episode of Flash Frisbone Radio Ace. I think it's time. And now.
And now. The amazing recorded adventures of Floating Flash Frisbone Radio Ace. Flash Frisbone, endowed with abilities far beyond mere mortal radio entertainers, such as the unerring ability to break format, mispronounce the name of the major sponsor, not to mention the name of the president.
Jimmy Catter.
Flash Frisbone, who last month received the largest severance pay ever awarded for a jock for not even saying one word on the air, $4,616.96 from KBOX K-Bucks. As we join our hero this month, he is staring at his severance paycheck, still stunned, and he has been told there's a collect call for him. Let's listen.
Oh, wow. Hello?
Hello, this is the operator.
Uh-huh, yeah,
I have a collect satellite call for Mr. Flash Frisbone.
Frisbone.
Will you accept the satellite charges?
Oh, sure. Wow, I got enough money not to sweat a phone call. Boy, I'm going to get out of radio. Maybe start that waterbed store at last.
Hello? Oh. Hello? Frisbone.
Frisbone.
Whatever, son. Say, this is Benson Burner over in Savannah, son.
Benson Burner? You mean Ben Burner, the owner of the Savannah ball team?
Yes, and the yacht. Oh,
say, too bad about that race.
Oh, think nothing of it, son. Well, listen, the reason I'm calling is because I've got a job for you down here in sunny Georgia.
Well, Mr. Burner, I don't really need a job. I got some money and,
But, son, we need you down here in Georgia. We're starting a new network. CWN, I call it.
CWN?
Yeah. Got the idea for it when I was on vacation up in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Heard this station up in Manitoba. See, it was all weather.
That was me.
And they played music that was about the forecast.
That was me.
Yeah, and I really, really liked it, son.
That was me.
Well, yeah, I got your name from Billboard. See, I got the ad right here. It says here, says you do everything.
Yeah, they give me a rate on that ad. I run it every week.
Well, son, we need you. Come to Savannah. Would you come?
Sure, I guess, but I really don't need to. See, I'm going into the waterbed store business.
Later,
you know?
later, son. Listen, I'm sorry to call you collect, but I wasn't sure if I'd get you, you know. I called 15 stations already today before I found the right one.
No problem. I got money.
Well, listen, I'll see you in Savannah, son.
Okay, I see ya.
Bye now.
Bye.
This is the operator. Are you through, Mr. Frisbone?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, send the bill to me at CWN in Savannah.
Okay, Mr. Frisbone, the bill comes to $4,614.85.
What?
Well, Mr. Frisbone, satellite time is expensive, especially since they lost SATCOM 3.
Oh.
We'll send you the bill. Have a nice day.
Bye.
And so, with $2.11 to his name, our hero journeys to sunny and beautiful Georgia, the studios of CWN, and the offices of Benson E. Burner.
Well, son, this is where history's gonna be made. The Cable Weather Network. 24-hour-a-day weather on TV.
It didn't work on the radio.
Of course not, son. Folks want to see the maps.
I don't see the maps. Where are the maps?
Oh, they're not here yet, son. They're on back order. Hey, I hope they'd be here for tomorrow's inauguration, but they just didn't arrive yet.
Oh, who else works here?
Well, son, I've hired the best weather names in the business.
Uh-huh.
Names like Dr. Frank Field and Stormfield and Valerie Voss, Ward Allen and Albert, and George Grafis, just to name a few.
Whew.
All the big weather names.
Ooh, gosh, where are they?
Well, they haven't arrived yet. We're still negotiating.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we sign on tomorrow, and that's why I need you.
Oh, for a weathercaster.
Well, no, son. Not exactly. You see, the audio equipment didn't all come in.
Audio equipment?
Right, and we need a thousand-cycle tone.
Thousand-cycle tone?
You know, ooh.
Ooh?
That's right. Ooh, ooh.
Ooh,
ooh.
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 Ooh. No, a little higher.
Ooh.
A little higher.
Ooh.
That's it. Now, what I want you to do, Frisbone, is to stand behind that test pattern over there, son.
Yeah.
And Just go ooh.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, like that. Okay, now just go over there behind the test pattern and go ooh. And, but keep it regular. You know, a little more regular. That's it, son. Now, don't let up. Don't let up. You just stay there and do that, and I'll go in and turn on the transmitter, and we'll begin transmitting. Now, just keep it up, son. That's good, son. That's good. Just keep a little more regular, son.
Well, is our hero going to make it? Will he keep a steady tone going? Will he make it without breaking format? Will he get a date with Valerie Voss? And what about Elma Gluck? Tune in next month and find out as we bring you another episode of Floating Flash Frisbone, Radio Ace! Amazing recorded adventures of Floating Flash Frisbone are produced exclusively for the Aircheck Factory at Studio B in Marquette, Michigan.
Try and keep it a little more regular, son! A little more regular!
Welcome to Paper Radio, tuning into analog culture in the digital age. Half Gifts is a full-sized paper zine created by teenager Jude Noel, who interviews indie bands and reviews cassettes, records, and other media on his blog. Half Gifts is a perfect hybrid of an online and offline continuum. Jude regularly updates the Half Gifts blog, but much of the content of the paper version of Half Gifts is exclusive. Jude is an exceptional writer who also produces cassette releases of his favorite bands. If you enjoy dream pop, shoegaze, experimental, lo-fi, or indie rock music, Google Half Gifts Blogspot and find Jude's website and a whole new world of new music. I'm DJ Frederick. I'll see you at the mailbox.
And now, the amazing recorded adventures of Floating Flash Frisbone, Radio Ace. You'll remember in our last thrilling episode. I don't think that's the right music.
Yeah, that is the same music. Hmm.
Okay. You'll remember in our last thrilling episode. Last time, the music was a little more rousing.
That is the same music!
Okay. In our last thrilling episode, our hero, Floating Flash Frisbone, working for the Cable Weather Network, was given the assignment of producing a 1,000-cycle test tone using only his lungs. Will our hero make it? Will our hero keep up the steady tone at a steady pace for 17 hours before the station signs on? Will he make it? No. His best shot just wasn't good enough. And so our hero finds himself waking up in an unusual place, a hospital bed. In the chair next to him, a very official-looking gentleman wearing a Dartmouth Direct suit.
What about that line you always say?
Let's listen.
Hey, where am I?
You're in Our Lady of the Cumes Hospital, Frisbone.
Hospital?
Right.
Hey, I didn't know that Savannah had such neat hospitals.
You're not in Savannah anymore. This is northern New Hampshire, Frisbone.
New Hampshire? How the heck did I get in?
Well, you see, I bought your contract from the Cable Weather Network. As soon as I heard about you, I knew you were the guy for the job to cover the election.
You mean the election?
Right. There's an election.
Election?
And as soon as I knew that you covered the political scene for NBC, well, I just had to...
Wait a minute. Now, you might have read my resume a little too fast.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what it says is...
You worked at NBC.
No, I listened to Don Imus on WNBC when I was in New York looking for a job.
Huh? You never worked with Jessica Savage?
Are you kidding?
Or Jane Pauley?
I should be so lucky. No, not even Tom Brokaw.
Well, with your extensive background, I mean, you must have some political savvy, right?
Well, I mean, I do know that in America, anybody can grow up to be president.
Well, we've more or less proven that, Frisbone. Now... Look, you gonna work for me or not?
I'm not working for Cable Weather Network anymore.
Fired, Frisbone.
Oh. I guess I'm your boy then.
Good. Okay, now listen, I want to show you this map here.
Can you hold it closer?
Okay, how's that?
Closer.
Now you see this county that borders on Quebec?
I can't see it.
Well, that's going to be your territory, Frisbone, right here. We're going to send you to the campaign headquarters of Rene Snowfleck.
Maybe I need glasses.
He's been running as an independent. His platform calls for that county to secede from New Hampshire and join Quebec. No one really knows where he came from, but he's got a lot of support, especially from the Tobacco Growers Association.
Rene Snowfleck. I think I've heard that name before.
The scene shifts now to election night. As Flash is stationed at Snowfleck headquarters, 3 miles from the Quebec border, the air is heavy with cigarette smoke as our hero files his first report of the evening.
This is Flash Frisbone reporting from Snowflake headquarters. The latest totals here, as the polls close on the West Coast, show independent Snowflake with 13,382, and independent John Anderson a close second, 13,381. Ronald Reagan has slightly over 11,000, but the last name on the board, I can't make it out because of all the cartons of cigarettes in front of the board. But I'll have those totals in my next report. So with 61% of the precincts reporting, it's a dead heat between Snowfleck and Anderson. This is Flash Frisbone reporting. Now back to the AM-FM voices, WGOP and WFLQ.
Hey, Chief, was that okay?
Yeah, but Frisbone, try and find out who the other candidate is before your next cut-in. Your county's picking up national attention. NBC says they might take a feed soon.
Oh, you mean maybe I could get to talk to Jane Pauley?
Frisbone? I suppose if it was CBS, you'd want to talk to Wonder Woman.
Huh. Hey, that's a thought. Hey, wait just a minute, Chief.
Oh, don't call me Chief. What the heck's going on there, Frisbone?
I'm not sure. I'll go check.
Well, listen, I gotta check with Reagan headquarters. Get back to me, Frisbone. Get back to me.
Well, what's all the hubbub at Snowfleck headquarters? And are you sure that's the right music?
This is the right music!
Listen, if you're fooling me, if that's not the right music, I don't have to announce. It's in my contract.
We have ways of making you talk.
Tune in again next month for another thrill-a-minute episode of Floating Flash Frisbone Radio Ace. And don't forget to vote.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. This is DJ Frederick saying thank you for listening. If you'd like to email, my email address is wscs@colby-sawyer.edu. wscs@colby-sawyer.edu. I should put that on a wax cylinder and kind of like turn it around a few hundred times. colby-sawyer.edu. And remember, keep your radio free. Keep your mind free. Keep your spirit free. Thanks for listening.